I refuse to be a thermometer. I want to be a thermostat. I want to be the one that sets the temperature in a room when I walk in a room. I don't want to take the negative or the low or the stress energy from anybody. I want to bring the joy into the room.
Welcome to the Midlife Reinvention Podcast. I'm your host, Kavita, and the founder of Power Purpose Play, a global community of women in midlife. I'm here to tell you that it's your time now to rediscover what has always been inside of you and bring that out into the world. If you're wondering what's next, but don't know quite what that is, or if you feel a twinge in your heart telling you that you have so much more to do and so much more to offer, you're in the right place. Ask yourself, if not now, when? Do you want to leave your job, start your own business, take control of your health, reignite the passion in your marriage, write that book, or at least that first chapter? Transitions like this can be daunting, but through listening to my story and interviews with incredible women every week, I hope to inspire you to take action. I rediscovered myself after the age of 50, and I know you can too. It's my time now to help you do just that. I'm so excited you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, my dear friend, and welcome to another episode of the Midlife Reinvention Podcast. For those of you who are celebrating, and actually, even if you don't, I'd like to wish you a very happy Diwali. If you don't know what Diwali is, it is one of the most popular festivals celebrated by Indians all over the world, symbolizing the victory of light over darkness, good over evil, and knowledge over ignorance. It is usually celebrated with family and friends over a five-day period, marked with prayers and sweets and colorful gatherings filled with food and dance. And we've been doing a lot of that in the last few days. I'd like you to think about what brings lightness into your life. Whether you celebrate Diwali or not, the meaning of the celebration can be applied into anyone's life. Think about what really matters to you at this moment and celebrate it, even if it means just by taking a deep breath and taking a moment to reflect and feel gratitude in your heart. You may have noticed that we've had a little break in our podcast episodes in the last few weeks, and that is because I had an unexpected pause in my life. A pause to look after my mother after she suffered a stroke. I have spent the last 3 weeks looking after both my mom and dad as they go through this very tumultuous time in our family. But thankfully, with the grace of God, she is on her road to recovery. It seems fitting that this Diwali reminds us to celebrate what we feel grateful for and to reflect on all the abundance in our lives. I am fortunate to have been able to care for my parents after years of them taking care of me. I'm sure many of you have experienced this, but for me, it was quite a shock. You see, my mom has always been a very active, social, and vibrant woman, and to see her having to learn to walk again is both sad, but also so inspiring. Her determination to get back on her feet is more inspiring than anything I have seen in a long time, and I am so proud of her. This is what I want for you. Whatever obstacles may be in your path, whether physical, like my mom's, or perceived internally, we all have the will, the ability to get through them. I know this. I believe this. And through listening to this podcast, I want you to believe this for yourself. I'm here to help you uncover the obstacles which may be in your way and light the path for you and your life moving forward. Reach out to me at kavita@powerpurposeplay.ca if you'd like to learn more about my transformational coaching program called It's My Time Now, which will help you do just that. This week's episode with Claudia Noriega Bernstein is sure to inspire you, as she is so passionate about the abundance we all have in our lives, even if you can't see it right now. She is also passionate about equality and compassion for all, despite your race, religion, ethnicity, or gender. I hope you enjoy this episode. And again, happy Diwali, and may the light of this day shine on you and yours brightly. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Midlife Reinvention Podcast. I'm your host, Kavita Ahuja, and the founder of Power Purpose Play. And we are a global community of women in midlife. I'm also a certified women's midlife transition coach. And my mission is to empower 1 million women in midlife worldwide to find their inner power and purpose and to say with confidence, it's my time now. As part of this mission, I interview incredible women for this podcast who share their stories of reinvention and who will give you their advice on how to make this next stage in your life the best stage ever. This week, I am very pleased to have on the show Claudia Noriega Bernstein. Claudia is an artist, a writer, a philanthropist, an abundance coach, mentor, mother, and wife. During her career as a journalist, she has worked for magazines and television in South America and the United States, touching subjects from parenting, forgiveness, and growth to political issues. She has dedicated the last 12 years of her life to empowering people, especially women and children. As a life and abundance coach, she has helped people from different backgrounds to discover and implement their full potential of their creative powers for personal growth and self-healing. That's so wonderful, Claudia. I'm so pleased to have you on the show today. And you just have a lovely smile. So I can't wait to get into our conversation.
Thank you. I was just listening to you because you said those words so kindly that I was like, wow, that's so nice how she said it.
Sometimes when we hear back from people as to what we've done, we're like, whoa, did I do that really?
It had happened to me a few times, especially when I hear my daughters repeat something that I have said to them. I'm like,
yes.
Wow,
did I say
they
that?
They were listening.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just a pleasure to have you on. And we have similar kind of backgrounds in terms of our different heritage, but we'll get into that. But I wanted to first find out from you, because we're all about reinvention here. And if you could please share with us your story, if it's one of reinvention and what you're doing and what brought you to where you are today, and maybe some of the lessons that you've learned along the way.
Yeah, of course. I really feel that a version of myself expires every day. That's how I see my life. And I do my best to become the next best version the following day. I have gone through a lot of changes in the past years, especially the dynamic in my house. All my kids are gone. They're in school. They're in their houses. One is getting married in a couple of years from now. Another one is getting married in March. So nice. There's a lot of different changes. And when I remember a long time ago, when the father of my children said to me, what are you going to do when the kids are gone? And I'm like, what do you mean when they don't need you anymore? And I was like, what do you mean they don't need me anymore? Of course they're going to need me. I'm their mom. But it's not that they don't need you, but they have now their own choices. They have their own life. And somehow it's our time to do what we want to do with our life. And I always wanted to write, but I never had the time. I always wanted to take pictures professionally, and I never had the time. So that's something that is in my bucket list. I gave myself 2 years, and in 2 years, I told my husband, let's travel the world. Let's start taking pictures. I one day want to have a show with all my pictures from Peru to India. Oh, I want nice. To capture different cultures and share it with the world. I mean, when I gave myself permission to make myself a priority, a lot of doors open because the sky's the limit. You start making that list and start thinking, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to travel here. And then it's not about the obstacles, is about the dream, the vision, what it is that you want. And for me, that has been so enlightening to find the possibilities. And it's like I I had a do-over without needing to have a do-over because I love my life and I love my children and I love to be a mom. But it's like, wow, I get another wing. So wow. I'm going to go for it. And I'm super excited. I'm excited every day for the people I'm meeting. I'm excited. I was excited to meet you. I never thought I was going to be doing podcasts. And this side kind of came to me. And I'm loving it. I'm loving to share my story. I love to reach people in different places that somehow feel stuck and then hear my story or the obstacles that I face or situations that perhaps they perceive as I'm stuck. I cannot move on from here. But then you hear the story of somebody else and you're like, wait a minute. If she did it, I can do it too.
Absolutely. It's yeah.
So empowering.
Yes. Fantastic. There's so many great things you said there. And I love that when you said you gave yourself permission to make myself a priority. And that is so important because we often as women don't do that. We don't give ourselves permission because we're looking after others. Not that, I mean, it's our nature to look after others mm-hmm. prior to looking after or before looking after ourselves. Yeah. I was just telling you before we got on that my son just left for university. He's starting med school, which is really fantastic. And we're very proud of him. But as a mother, you watch him drive away and it's like, oh my goodness. Right. But what you said is that they're going to do their own thing. And now it's kind of our time. It's our turn. So you had the vision of wanting to write and be a photographer. So that, mm-hmm. did that come through? Did that dream come true for you?
Yes. I wrote my first book a couple of years ago. It's called Brighter Days. And I always wanted to write, but I was working on a book for parenting because somehow we label ourselves. So mm-hmm. I'm good at this and that's it. So people would give me compliments about the way my kids were and the advices I was giving them. So I thought, well, I'm going to write a book about parenting. And I started writing. I was very passionate about it. But in my little times, because my kids were not totally out of the house at that point, and we went to Miami, I tried to download a movie on my computer. And I make the mistake of not saving all my stuff before I got in the plane and my computer crashed and my book got deleted. I was in Miami where my coach lives there because as you know, we all have to have coaches, a sounding board. So I called Chris and I go, Chris, I need to talk to you. Let's go for a coffee. He lives in Miami. And we went for a coffee and I said, you don't know what happened to me. What happened to you? Because until that moment, and that's another way I speak to myself now, things don't happen to me. They happen for me. Mm-hmm. So that was a shift right there. So he says, what happened to you? And I am like, my book got deleted, my computer crashed. And he goes, yes. And I'm like, what do you mean, yes? And he goes, that means you're going to write something better. And I was like, oh, you think? But for a period of time, I was like, I don't want to write. And for like 3 years, I didn't write anything. And then COVID happened. And one of my nephews was stuck here in Las Vegas. And I used to see him every weekend. He couldn't go back to Peru. The airports were closed. And he said to me, whatever happened to your book? So I told him the story. And he says, listen, I read your post. You have wrote articles for magazines, for different blogs and whatever. Why don't we just go through all that? And then you can add some. And we put this together and create the book. Yes. And he was a publisher. So I learned from him how to do it. So we went through all the stuff and day and night, it was like I was on drugs. That was my high. Like, I want to get it. This is so exciting. I'm going to do my book. So I came up with 88 lessons. It wasn't plan to be 88 lessons, but they are 88 lessons. So I said, let's just call it 88 lessons. And he's like, no, we got to call it something different. So funny thing, I was reading a magazine and I saw like a publicity for a makeup. It says, have brighter days or something like that. And I'm like, That's the name of my book.
Yeah.
I want everybody to have brighter days every day.
That's so beautiful.
So this is the 88 most important lessons learned in life for women that want to increase their confidence, resilience, and courage. And it's a work of love, because a lot of my post has a lot to do with my children, the lessons I learned as a mom. You know, sometimes I'm the teacher, sometimes I'm the mm-hmm. student. So I had a lot of those stories, a lot about parenting too, about my relationship with my ex-husband that passed away, how we work together as parents to raise our daughters, and how we really never stopped being a family, even though I remarried and I am married now for 17 years with a wonderful man. But he also was open to embrace that relationship that mm-hmm. I had with the father of my kids. And he was part of it. And we created this unity for our kids.
That's beautiful.
And so I write about that in the book, and mm-hmm. and then I publish it, and I was like, well, I publish a book, so if one day I'm not around, my kids can read it. And then my friends started to read, and then people that I didn't know started reaching out to me and saying, I love your book, and I learned so much, or I had that experience, and blah, blah, blah. And it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding.
You have that idea and you have a little push, and then it's a reality, right? So
that's all we need.
Yeah. So 88 lessons learned in life for women who want to increase their confidence, resilience, and courage. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can share one or two of these lessons. Can you do that for us?
I can. Yeah. Let me see what page we're going to open up. Okay. Let's see. Being vulnerable doesn't mean I am not strong. That's in book I open it. That's what it
says. Being vulnerable
doesn't mean I am not strong. Mm. And that's a very, very big lesson that I learned. For the longest time, my kids never saw me cry. I thought that crying in front of my kids would make them perceive me as a weak person. And I had to go through a emotional intelligence seminar to realize that vulnerability has nothing to do with my strength, that I still can be a very strong woman and be vulnerable and show that vulnerability to my children so they can also be vulnerable and be more in touch with their emotions. And actually, the first time my girls saw me crying was in public when we graduated from that seminar, and I am not the kind of person who raised their hands and say, I want to talk. And mm-hmm. I did it. And I grabbed the microphone and I talked to them instead of talking to everybody else. I talked to them and I told them, I'm sorry for not showing you that part of me that is part of me. And it's okay. It's okay to feel sad sometimes. And it's okay to cry sometimes. And at first, I could see their little faces looking at me like, are you hurt? Why are you crying? I used to go in the shower to cry, and I used to say, I'm already wet, so I'm just going to cry in the shower.
did that, so I get what you're saying.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, when my daughter went to college, I was devastated. When my second and third daughter went to college. They went to college together because they're very close. They're 4 months apart. I got pregnant after 4 months of the second one. And I was so upset that I got vertigo.
Oh my goodness.
My husband had to get me a puppy because I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, who am I going to take care of?
A puppy. Okay.
I'm like, I need to take care of something.
I love that. Being vulnerable doesn't mean that I'm not strong. That's absolutely true, because we always have to, we feel like we have to put this mask on our faces that we're always doing it. We can take care of everything, but there's nothing wrong with showing your emotions, especially as women. That's what makes us real. That's what makes us human, right? And so I want to touch a little bit on, you mentioned that your first husband passed away, and I'm sorry to hear that, mm-hmm. but there's other obstacles, I believe, that I'm sure that you have faced in your life and that we all face, and some are common. Like we talked about our kids leaving, and it's not really an obstacle, but it's something that kind of makes us go, whoa, now what, right? And these obstacles can be internal and or external, as you know. So can you share some of these and how some of these things in your life maybe changed you, or how you kind of overcame them, or if you're still overcoming them, what are some of the ways that you to
you
help
know,
women?
I have had cancer 3 times.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. I had it in my thyroid. I don't have any thyroid. I had a nodule between my heart and my lungs, and then I had it in my uterus. So the first time that I had cancer was right when I was separating from my ex-husband. And it was very challenging because my life was taking a 180 turn. Mm-hmm. And at the same token, I was facing death to an extent, even though thyroid cancer is very easy to an extent to, if it doesn't spread, obviously, to control. Mine was capsules, so they took my whole thyroid out. But still, anything could happen. I can die in this surgery, or I can have a metastasis afterwards, or anything could happen. And for that moment in my life, I was also facing a big change as far as not being the family that mm-hmm. we were before. Mm-hmm. So I had to talk to myself, and I always say this to my clients, the person in the mirror is your best friend. And you need to be kind to that person and talk to that person and figure out what are the possibilities that you have to overcome the obstacle or the circumstance that you're facing in that moment. Because they are all circumstances. And depending how we see them mm-hmm. is how we're going to overcome them. And oftentimes we're so overwhelmed that we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So when I faced that first cancer, that was a huge lesson for me about resilience. I knew that I needed to embrace what was happening in my life in that moment and kind of not, I don't want to say dismiss it because I never dismiss it, but not put the spotlight on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to put the spotlight on my kids and on myself. And that helped me have better perception of what was important and what needed my attention. I could have just sat in my bed and cried and feel miserable. Oh my God, I don't have a husband anymore and I don't have a job and now I have cancer. What am I going to do? Or I can say, okay, I got this. Let me figure this out. Let mm-hmm. me see what I can do to overcome this. Let me see what are my possibilities. What can I create out of this situation that is going to empower me to take the next step? Even if the next step is an inch, I don't care. I'm going to keep on moving forward because that's what I want to show my girls. That's the example I want to be for them. And they were my fuel. Many times I feel defeated because we all go through that. We all feel defeated. We all feel that there is no choice, there is no possibility, there is nothing, but you do have them. This is kind of silly, but my dad one time said to me, you have a choice even if your panties are in your ankle. And I was like, huh?
Even if what?
If your panties are in your ankles.
Okay, and I heard something else, sorry.
No, and I was like,
I thought you said penis.
No, panties. And I was like, I didn't understand at that time what it meant. But now that I am an adult, my dad always used analogies. So it was so funny to talk to him because he would like tell me stuff that it would resonate with me. And then I would remember. And I said that to my girls and they took that to heart and they know they are adults now. They're 25, 26 and 29 and they know. You can change your mind. God allows you turns. You can say, this is not for me. Sorry. Thank you. I'm going to go the other direction. And
you can pull up your panties.
you can pull up your pants and say, you know what? I thought it over. And, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And that was a huge lesson for me, because that resilience has followed me since then. My dad used to tell me to adapt is one of the secrets of happiness. Mm. And we have to adapt, but then you don't have to shrink while you're adapting.
Right. Well, you can grow.
Adapt.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But you don't have to shrink. And oftentimes we think that's, that's what we're supposed to do. And no.
Yes.
No.
I love that. I love that, because obviously the resilience when you, I mean, three times cancer, I mean, it's anyone else might have just kind of crumbled and just, like you said, stayed in bed for months. Mm-hmm. But I think what I got from that is what I believe is whatever you put your attention to expands in your life. Mm-hmm. So if you put your attention to the negative things that are happening, and then obviously it's not always easy to, if something really bad is happening, you have to acknowledge it's there. You don't ignore it. But if you continue to put your attention to it, then it's just going to, you know, attract things to it. It's going to attract the negative. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you put your attention to, like you said, you put your attention to your kids or your other things, then it takes your mind away from the negatives that are happening. And then you can focus on taking action in a positive way.
I am a very spiritual person. So I don't go to church every Sunday. I'm a Catholic. I don't go to church every Sunday. My husband is a Jewish. So we go to temple and I go to church in certain dates of the year, but I am a very spiritual person. So I had a conversation with God and I said, I gave you those three cancers so my girls won't have it. Let's make that deal. And that was, for me, was like a reassurance that I'm putting that out there. My kids will never have cancer. I had the three cancers. We're good. We're good.
I love it. I love that. That's great. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. So Claudia, you wrote another book and it's in a journal, and you talk a lot about abundance.
Yes.
And you wrote something called an abundance journal for women. Mm-hmm. And so please tell us, I mean, everybody has a different definition of abundance. What is your definition of abundance, and why is it so important for us to create abundance in our lives?
Hi, my friend, Kavita here. Do you often feel blocked from moving forward? We all feel that way at times. These are referred to as energy blocks. I've created a short, actionable PDF guide to help you release your negative energy blocks. Click the link in the description to download it now for free. Now, let's get back to the episode.
I think that abundance is a state of mind, is how we perceive what we have. My coach, Chris, always says, it's not about what you have, but who you are. And that is true. A lot of people think that abundance is plenty of something, plenty of cars, plenty of money, plenty of things, when it's a lot more than that. When you acknowledge all the blessings that you have in your life, then you live a life of abundance. And I wrote that journal because I had a friend who was stuck in a funk. And every time I would speak to her, she would say to me, I am in a really bad place. I am in a really bad place. And that became her mantra.
Mm.
I am in a really bad place. And I asked myself, how many other people feel that way? I am in a bad place, and keep saying that. And they don't realize how important it is, the conversations that we have with ourselves. What we tell ourselves becomes true somehow.
Absolutely.
It's like we put it out there. So why not saying affirmations every day, things that empower us every day? So when I created my journal, which I call it Don't Shrink to Fit, I don't shrink to fit.
Yes.
And I put that I in the front, because I wanted to be an affirmation right from the get-go. I wanted everybody that had this, when they grab it, put it next in your nightstand or a place where you are going to see it every day. And you say that affirmation, I don't shrink to fit. No way.
Nice.
So I feel that part of living a life of abundance is remembering the blessings that we do have every day. Mm-hmm. So this journal has prompts that you have to write down every day. Mm-hmm. And it also has affirmations in the bottom, like every day is a fresh start, or I radiate beauty, charm, and grace, and different things that women can carry with them and kind of set the note for the day. Since my girls were able to have phones, because I'm very Latin, so I didn't give them phone until later. They had to share one for a period of time. But why my friend had the phone and I have to share with my sister? Because that's how it is. You got to share with your sister. So, but now that they're adults, and since they have their own phone, I started to send them either an affirmation or a quote every morning to set the tone of their day. More so now that they don't live with me. I don't know if they had a bad night. I don't know if they fall with their boyfriend. I don't know if they were not able to sleep, if they are dragging, going to school or going to work, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I send them a quote every morning.
How beautiful.
Girls, have a great day. I love you. And I send them a picture of a quote. And usually it's very empowering. Today in the morning was kind of funny because I said something about, if somebody put too much cheese in your spaghetti, you don't need that. How dare they? Or some joke that somebody sent me to make them laugh. But usually it's something empowering. I refuse to be a thermometer. I want to be a thermostat. I want to be the one that sets the temperature in a room when I walk in a room. I don't want to take the negative or the low or the stress energy from anybody. I want to bring the joy into the room. Don't absorb, because I'm a sponge and I love to learn, but there is a difference between learning and growing than getting all the stress. I remember I used to talk with friends and they would share their problems or their struggles. And I would come home like if I had a bag of potatoes in my back. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh my God, I can't even move. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I absorb that energy. That's just me by nature. But I learned to kind of not fight it back, but overcome that bad energy with joy. I'm gonna give you joy instead of you giving me your dark cloud. Yeah.
That's so true, because you said right from the beginning, your friend said everything, I'm in a funk and I'm this and I'm that. And if you continue to keep on thinking of those things, mm-hmm. rather than flipping them around in the affirmations that you put out in your book, for example, then it's just, I'm not saying that you say something and it all comes true, but it just changes the energy within you. And then that energy within you, it's kind of like a magnet, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then people can see it. People can see it. And just the same way, if you have negative energy, people can see that. That's what you said. You absorb it, right? And I love that. I want to be a thermostat. I want to set the temperature.
And That's you know amazing. What? When I created this journal, my husband is a lawyer, so he's very pragmatic in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he looks at me and is like, why are you so happy about it? And I'm like, why? So
it can be annoying for people who are like, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's like positive. I had a horrible day. I have to deal with clients and this and this and that. Yeah. And now I come here and you Tinkerbell, what's wrong with you? So I said to him, babe, I want to do an experiment. Can you start writing in my journal? I'm going to give you a journal and I want you to start writing. So of course he wasn't happy about having these little flowers next to his nightstand. Yeah. But I said, I want to know if it works for you. I know it works for me, but I want to know if it works for you. Mm-hmm. And he started writing And I promise you, I saw a difference, like a big difference. And one day I would see him like writing, or sometimes he would go downstairs and then he will run upstairs again. And I'm like, what happened? I forgot to write in the journal.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So he started doing it. And I started seeing a shift on him. Mm-hmm. I started seeing a more calm, more, how can I say this? He wasn't as intense mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. So then I said, I'm going to write one for men. Because of course, this one for women has a lot of empowering things for women. And at the beginning, I talk about lessons and confidence and beauty and different things that mm-hmm. you could apply to women.
Right.
So I created the one for men. I make it dark. It's all black. It's like very manly. And now he finished the first one, and now he's writing on that one. And I promise you, he is really shifting in a lot of ways. It's funny with men, because men need to know, or feel at least, that it's their idea. If it's their idea, they're more willing to do it. They don't want to be told what to do. So I think that journal helped him with his mindset.
Mm.
And I actually wrote it in one part, mindset go. Yeah. Kind of like a gimmick with the mindset. Yeah. And then I changed, of course, the affirmations. One day he said to me, I'm having a hard time saying good things to myself.
Mm.
And I said to him, okay, that's very valid. He goes, I keep saying I'm a good dad, or I'm a good friend. And I said, but there is all the things that you are wonderful about. And why don't you just read the affirmations in the bottom mm-hmm. and carry that with you every day? So yeah. he started doing that, because yeah. I have those affirmations for a reason. You yes. don't want to say something nice about yourself, then read the affirmation and own it.
Yes.
I am vulnerable, but I'm still a strong man.
Yes. I think people, and that's wonderful that you've done that for men as well, because obviously as humans, we need to encourage ourselves. And by telling ourselves or speaking to ourselves in a kind way and saying and reminding ourselves the great things about ourselves, that whether we're male or female, it doesn't matter. But I think some people think that, oh, it has to be these grand things that we were grateful for, or like, but it doesn't. It can be like so simple. Like, I'm just grateful for being able to take my puppy for a walk, or I'm so grateful for
the rain
or the food, or this beautiful cup of tea that I'm drinking, or I don't know. It doesn't have to be a huge thing.
And that's what abundance is about.
Right. Abundance in every little thing. And that's what I put play in my title of my business, because play is just that. It's like seeing the abundance and the gratefulness in any moment and in everything. Yeah. And playing with it, and just playing and being enjoying life. Even if things seem negative, there's always something that you to be always there's always something you can be grateful for. I tell myself every morning, I'll say, everything always works out for me.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. And inevitably it does. I mean, obviously not all the time, but it just puts you in a different frame of mind, right? And that's the whole intention. So that's wonderful that you've written both of these, and congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Yes.
My mother-in-law used to say, everything works out at the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. I was like, okay, I keep waiting.
That's good. That's really good. So wonderful. So Claudia, I just want to kind of switch a little bit, and because I know when I first met you, we talked a lot about, we're both women of color. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I understand the challenges as we face as women of color, and as well as for me being Indian, the cultural expectations that surrounded us as we were growing up. And I know that you're from Peru, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe you can describe some of the challenges you face in your career, maybe in your life. And do you think that's changing and in society, and maybe how did that shape who you are today?
And I'm just going to make a parenthesis, and I don't want to go into politics, but I think now is so much more, if you can say, difficult for women, because we had, unfortunately, leaders that in a way had disrespected us publicly. Mm-hmm. So having said that, I, as an immigrant, has faced a lot of walls in front of me. People sometimes look at me and they don't know if I'm from the Middle East. They don't know if I'm Italian. They don't know if I'm Latin. Depending on how I have my hair or what I'm wearing. Yes. You know what I'm saying? They categorize you. They know you're not American. And I could have been born here. They don't know that, right?
Right, right.
But the minute I open my mouth and they hear an accent, sometimes even the body language changes. I remember when I was pregnant of my first daughter, we were in St. Louis, Missouri, and I really never wore pregnant outfits because my bellies were pretty small. They were all in the front and little. And I was with my ex-husband walking to the store, and he was going to another store. So I asked for a couple of outfits, and the lady right from the get-go was very rude to me. I was dressed very casual. I have flip-flops and a little dress in my purse. I didn't have anything that would show her if I had money or not, just me. And she said to me, "We don't have your size." I had a pretty woman moment. "I don't have your size." And I go, "Oh, how about that one? I don't have your size. I don't have your size. I don't have
your size." Did she ask what your size was? No.
No, she just looked at me and said, "We don't have your size." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I didn't take it personal. I left the store. My ex-husband was Italian, but he was very white. So he said to me, "Did you get the dress?" It was like a romper. And I said, "No, they don't have my size in anything." And I go, "Yeah, that's what the lady said." And he goes, "Let's go back." I'm like, no, I don't want to go back. That's fine. Because you start shrinking.
Yes, you're
like,
no.
I don't want to steer the pot. He says, "No, we're going." And I was like, "Oh." So he walked inside and I stayed at the door. And the lady's still looking at me like, "What does she want now? What, she's going to steal something? What does she want?" So he goes in and he said, "That romper that you have in the mannequin in the window, do you have, where are they?" And he goes, "Sir, yeah, they're here, blah, blah, blah." So he pulled it and he said to me, he knew I was looking for a medium because I had a belly. Oh, and that wasn't like a pregnancy romper. Yeah. And he goes, "Baby, they have your size here." And she was like lost. She didn't know what to do. And my husband turned around and he says, "What did you tell her that you didn't have her size?" And this woman said to my husband, "I didn't think she could afford it."
Wow.
And I could not believe the ignorance of this person saying something, not only thinking that, but saying it out loud to my husband. And my husband put it down and left. We did not buy it, didn't say a word to her. I felt like so many feelings. I felt embarrassed. And then I realized, why am I embarrassed? She should be embarrassed. She's an ignorant. But in that moment, I felt like, oh my God, do we actually live in a world when somebody has,
audacity.
Yes, to say something like that to another human. And this was 30 years ago.
Wow.
Imagine now. So I have learned to use my voice. I have learned to say things. And somebody said to me, "You had cancer in your thyroid because you were not using your voice, because everything stayed here. And it was poisoning you because you were not able to say what you have to say." And when that person said that to me, I said, "Never again. I am going to speak up. And I don't care if anybody turned their head or say whatever." I mean, I had the opportunity to meet some important people because my husband was a candidate for the Senate a few years ago. And so we meet politicians and even sometimes they don't expect for me to say something.
Yes.
And I say what I have to say. And I say it in a light way. And listen, we had a situation not long ago, and I think my husband was a little embarrassed because my husband is very politically correct for a lot of reasons. And we were in an elevator, and this person that I had asked him for an appointment to go and talk to him, because the first journal that I wrote was for children, because the amount of kids that kill themselves and suffer from depression because of COVID, because they're not able to socialize, was so big. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, I got to do something. And I created this journal for children who is actually in some magnet schools and in different places. And I wanted to place it in the education district.
Yes.
And I tried to get an appointment with this person, and this person didn't give me the time of the day. And he was in the elevator, so there were a lot of people in the elevator. This was last weekend, and my husband said, babe, this is so-and-so. And I look at him and I said, oh, you are the one who didn't give me the appointment.
Good for you.
And everybody in the elevator were like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. And my husband, when we got home, he said, you didn't need to embarrass him. I mean, he wasn't mad at me or anything, but he was like, and I said, I didn't embarrass him. He put himself in that situation. I just needed an appointment. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to him because I wanted to do something good. And he didn't give me the time of the day. Mm-hmm. He didn't even answer my email. So he said, well, he was embarrassed. So I said, okay, I'm going to acknowledge maybe I should have handled it differently. But you take the girl out of Latin America, but you don't take the Latin American out of the girl. Yeah. So I said, just a question.
He saw you with your husband in the elevator. Did his opinion change? Oh, okay.
No, he didn't say he was in shock. So the next day I sent him the email that I sent in 2021. I forwarded to him and I say, first of all, I want to apologize if I put you on the spot. Was not my intention. I said, sometimes I forget not everybody understands the Latin sense of humor. Having said that, here is the email I sent you in 2021. Still hasn't answered me.
Wow.
So
maybe he'll listen to this podcast and realize.
You think?
Those examples you shared are really, they exemplify, I think, what, I mean, these everyday examples that we go through, unfortunately, they're still happening. And by highlighting these in my podcast and by us talking about this even, mm-hmm. it brings the attention to it, that it's still there and that people have to really be aware and of what they say, what they do, and how they react amongst
and
people.
And how they treat people.
Yeah.
We exactly. have, as immigrants, so much to give. There is so many very skilled immigrants that are doing jobs in this country that born Americans don't want to do. Be grateful. Mm-hmm. Be grateful because we are helping the economy. We are helping this country to grow. We're not here because we want a green card. There are mothers that send their children with a plan B pill because they know something could happen to that child. But in spite of that, they send them here because that's better than seeing her daughter being killed or being raped or being sold mm-hmm. in their own countries. And they don't see that. And for somebody to treat an immigrant person or woman mm-hmm. bad or disrespectful just because they're not like them.
Yes.
How ignorant are you? It's heartbreaking for me.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think you're doing the right thing and then you're trying to change the narrative. And the more and more people who talk about these things and try to change it from within, I think that's all that we can do. And you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're an immigrant or a non-immigrant. We all have our own strengths and abilities and everybody should be treated as they are. So I wanted to bring that out because we talked about that when we first met and it's mm-hmm. important. Some of these topics are not easy to discuss, but mm-hmm. that's what we're here for. We're here to learn, as you said in the beginning, from everybody's stories. And if you share yours and if I share mine, then somebody listening will be like, Okay, I understand. And how can I learn from that? So, yeah. So those are. Did you want to, anything else that you want to say about that, or is that?
No.
Yeah, that's good. Great. That's great. Wonderful. So I love this conversation. You're so passionate about what you do, and it's just a breath of fresh air. And I just wanted to put, what other initiatives are you working on now, and anything that you want to share?
I am working on a couple's book right now with different advices and anecdotes and situations with my husband. Sometimes he look at me and I'm typing in my phone and he's like, what are you writing? I'm like, oh, nothing. It's something that he said to me that I think is hilarious. And I want to add it like a little nice thing in the book. So I'm working on that. I'm working on a training. It's kind of like an abundance course that I want to give to my clients, but also make it available for anybody who wants to grow and wants to live a life of abundance. So I'm working on those two projects. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Well, we'll definitely have all your links to your books and what you're doing in the show notes if anybody's interested in reading, and as they should, or are looking at your journals and doing some of these prompts and some of these affirmations. I think we'll definitely have them available for the audience to access. But before we go, maybe is there anything that you want to kind of end with, and any kind of advice for women listening?
I think it's very important to embrace change. It's very important to break the habits and replace those habits with habits that works for you. The ones that are not working, then dismiss them and replace them for something that works for you. Use your voice. I always tell my clients, use your voice. Mm-hmm. And remember that the person that is looking back at you in the mirror is your best friend. So be kind to her.
Beautiful. That reminds me of when we were kids and our moms used to say, use your words. Mm-hmm. Now as we're older, it's like the same thing.
So powerful.
Use your voice. Use your
voice. What we said to ourselves, so powerful.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for sharing. You've had some great pearls and I love some of the anecdotes as well. So really appreciate your time, and good luck with your books and your abundance journals coming up.
Thank you.
And your course as well.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claudia.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I'm sure you enjoyed this episode with Claudia and you are feeling grateful for all the abundance you do have in your life. Take the time to reflect on that. Here are her key takeaways. Number one, I really feel that a version of myself expires every day, and I do my best to become the next best version the following day. Number two, it is our time to do what we want to do with our life. When I gave myself permission to make myself a priority, a lot of doors opened because the sky is the limit. Number three, it's not about the obstacles, it's about the vision. What is it that you want? It's like we get another wing. Number four, being vulnerable doesn't mean I'm not strong. I can still be a very strong woman and still be vulnerable. It's okay to cry sometimes. Number five, the person in the mirror is your best friend, and you need to be kind to that person and figure out what are the possibilities you have to overcome the obstacles that you're facing in that moment. Don't put the spotlight on the situation, put the spotlight on yourself. Six, you have a choice, even if your panties are on your ankles. You can change your mind. God allows U-turns. Seven, when you acknowledge all the blessings that you have in your life, then you live a life of abundance. Number eight, I refuse to be a thermometer. I want to be a thermostat. I want to be the one who sets the temperature in a room when I walk in a room. I don't want to take the negative or the low or the stress energy from anybody. I want to bring the joy into the room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it, even if it is with one person, so we can get our positive messages out into the world. That is my goal. And my goal for you is to realize all the power within you to be who you want, do what you want, and in the process, find your purpose and live a life of play. May the light of positivity shine brightly on you today and always. Till next time, my friend, stay well and stay safe.